Fred Grandy in for Andy Parks all this week. And if you were listening in the last hour, just had a great conversation with former member of Congress Alan West. And he advised us that Chuck Hagel, Senator Chuck Hagel of Nebraska, may not be the best choice for Secretary of Defense. However, there is one group that's very keen on Chuck Hagel as the next defense secretary, and they all happen to live in Iran. So says our next guest, Ken Timmerman, has written, "Valentines for Hagel were posted from Tehran." Nobody would know better than that. Kenneth Timmerman is the president and founder of the Foundation for Democracy in Iran, has been writing investigative reports on Iran for a couple of generations now. Former congressional candidate in the 8th Congressional District of Maryland, and he joins us right now. Ken, good to hear from you.
It's good to be with you again, Fred. How are you doing?
Well, I'm okay, but I kind of wish that you were in Congress right now to ask some tough questions of Chuck Hagel. Let's for the purpose of this interview, pretend that you are. If you were sitting on the Armed Services panel tomorrow, what would be the first thing you would want to know from the Nebraska senator?
Well, I would want to know how he actually feels about the most important issues concerning Iran. As Secretary of Defense, he is going to be the pointy end of the spear to deter the Islamic Republic from military action against us and against our allies in the region. And he has a consistent track record of essentially taking the positions of the Islamic Republic of Iran. So, you know, Senator, over the past 12 years, you have consistently opposed American sanctions, U.S. sanctions against the Iranian regime. Today, you say you are for them. What changed your mind? You know, Senator, you said that you have consistently over the past 12 years, you have opposed any kind of U.S. pressure on Iran and encouraged both President Bush and President Obama to engage in unilateral negotiations with the Iranian regime. Today, you're against that. What's changed your mind? We have all of these confirmation conversions, Fred, which I find very troubling, and I certainly hope that members of the Senate will confront Hagel over this.
This is also a guy who had no problem with Hezbollah, even going so far when he was still in the Senate, of not classifying them as a foreign terrorist organization. Do I have that right?
Absolutely correct, and exactly the same thing happened with the Islamic Revolution Guards Corps, the IRGC, the Iranian Revolutionary Guards. He refused to go along with the fellow senators to put them on the terrorism list as well. His record on Iran is really quite extraordinary, and I laid that out, as you mentioned, in the Washington Times commentary piece today.
Which is worth reading, because you will come across in this article an organization that I think we need to know a lot more about, Ken. I'm going to let you describe it, but I'm talking about the National Iranian American Council, which is a pro-Tehran lobby with some pretty effective influence influencing building right here in town, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. They have been hosting events with members of Congress. Senator Kerry, in particular, has been a big supporter of theirs. They are
Secretary Kerry, if you please.
Secretary Kerry.
That's right.
Friday, apparently.
Yeah.
They are allied with another group. There are two of them together, the NIAC and the American-Iranian Council. Mm-hmm. Hagel has been closer to the American-Iranian Council, but they're birds of a feather. And they are, in fact, the front end of the pro-Tehran lobby here in Washington, D.C. NIAC, for its part, has come out vigorously in support of Hagel, using language which is just scarcely veiled anti-Semitism. You know, Hagel's own rant against the Jewish lobby influence on U.S. politics, they use similar language, saying that Hagel deserved support because he would oppose, quote, the extremist pro-Likud circles who are seeking to establish a veto on U.S. national security policy. That's the exact same kind of comment as Hagel was making when he was talking about the Jewish lobby.
Now, let's make sure that when we're talking about the NIAC or the other, what's the name?
AIC.
The AIC. We're talking about a group that supports the existing regime that would suppress any kind of freedom movement that we saw in 2009. Isn't that correct?
Yes, and they have, in fact, both of them gone on the record opposing U.S. support for pro-democracy, for the pro-democracy movement inside Iran, saying it would be counterproductive.
So when you say in your article, and you're actually talking about Press TV, which is the Iranian news agency, that they want Hagel to make, and this is your quote, a grand bargain with Iran, I guess what they're talking about is locking in an Islamic republic that will have nuclear weapons and will suppress any pro-freedom movement.
And locking in huge concessions by the United States, because that's the way that they see a grand bargain from Tehran. What they want, their agenda has been very clear, Fred. What they want is for us to lift sanctions on Iran, for the United States to engage in trade, to allow American companies to trade with Tehran, and for us to stop any kind of pressure on the Iranian regime, and essentially to grant this Islamic revolution in Tehran permanence and legitimacy. That's their agenda, and that is the agenda that Chuck Hagel has consistently purveyed and supported over the past 12 years. Now, all of a sudden, he's had this confirmation conversion, and all of a sudden, he's going to try to make members of the U.S. Senate believe that he no longer holds those positions. I think he's got a lot of explaining to do.
All right. Well, what's your over and under on whether the guy gets confirmed or not?
Well, I think it's a lot is going to hinge on the hearing itself. There are an awful lot of senators, including many Democrats, who have refused to commit themselves one way or another until the hearing is over. They want to hear how Hagel responds to these questions. They know that he's going to get tough questions about Iran, about Israel. You know, this is a man who said in 2003 that the Israelis were keeping Palestinians in cages like animals.
Right.
Senators want to know, well, is that really what you believe, Mr. Hagel? Do you believe that the Israelis put Palestinians in cages like animals? And I think you may find some people like Senator Menendez, of a Democrat from New Jersey, who today is the chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee.
Yeah, replacing Kerry.
Right. You may find that Senator Menendez starts to get cold feet, and all of a sudden the idea of voting for Hagel in lockstep with President Obama is not quite as appealing as it was before.
Yeah. I guess, but the one caveat I have there is this – everything you've described, obviously, that Hagel supports is clearly part of Obama's agenda. So if he's got a loyal follower like Chuck Hagel at the Department of Defense, that probably means that all of this kind of policy will be made right out of the White House with Hagel essentially functioning as an amen corner.
Correct. I do agree with that, and I think that is accurate, with a couple of caveats. First, Hagel's position on sanctions is even to the left of Obama's. Obama has reluctantly signed on to sanctions that were promoted by Congress. He didn't like it. He opposed it. But he did eventually sign on to it. Hagel has opposed it all the way down the line. The second thing, and this is potentially even more important, Hagel's not up for Secretary of State. He's not up to make for a position that will be a foreign policy-making position. Mm-hmm. However, he is there, as I said at the beginning, at the pointy end of the spear. And he is going to be the representation of American power. If the Iranian regime and other enemies of America believe that he is weak, that he is an appeaser, that he will essentially downsize our military and withdraw from foreign engagement, they will challenge us more. We will have more Benghazis. We will have more threats to American diplomats and American civilians overseas, and more people are going to die.
And we certainly can't fall back on our nuclear deterrent, because Hagel has been a virulent opponent of any kind of American nuclear superiority.
He's called for unilateral disarmament,
yeah,
in fact, and said that we should get rid of our nuclear triad. We only need at most one leg of the three triads. And see how that's going to play up in Nebraska and North Dakota, where our ICBMs are based.
Yeah. What do you think? To stop the nuclear deterrent with countries like North Korea, Ken, do you think we need background checks, go to those countries, review whether or not they're legitimately able to have more hits?
Yeah, right. Well, look, we are dealing with regimes that do not play by the same nice rules as we do. And, you have to deal with them with strength, from a position of strength. Weakness invites attack. That's what happened to us in Benghazi, and that is my ultimately my real concern with somebody like Chuck Hagel. He projects an image of weakness.
Well, and that, I think, is now defined as leading from behind, which I think is essentially marching forthrightly to the rear. And it all is part of Obama's post-American superpower world, which I think is pretty chilling. Ken, thanks for this report. This is very helpful. I hope that there are more than a few senators reading it. I'm going to be talking to Senator Vitter a little later in this hour on the Armed Services Committee, and I might just ask him a question or two that you pose in this article.
That'd be great. I'd love to hear how he's going to come out on Hagel, if he's taken a position yet.
I'll see if I can find out. Ken, thanks for being with us, and we'll be back right after these words.